Good afternoon. I will call this conference committee of the House Transportation, House File 4, to order. The intent of today's meeting is to walk through some of the work that the House Committee and the Senate Committee have been doing for what I would say approximately 2 years. And we have some thoughts and have put together things in a format that we would like to lay out these options. This is not a formal offer or a formal House position, but I think it's time to make sure that we're talking about all the things that we said we would talk about from the start. If I can say that a couple of years ago I did ask for time, and it seems as though we're running out of it lately, so here we are today. But some of the things that we've talked about and been consistent about from day one is that we need a long-term comprehensive transportation plan. We've talked about ways to fund it, and we've talked about what needs to be in it. We've talked about the need to address transit situations. We need to address the roads and bridges in our state. But it truly needs to be a Minnesota plan. So with that intent, I'm going to walk through some of the thoughts that we have put together on the House side. Mr. Chair, I didn't pass those to your side. Just a quick review, the House position would be that we would put $300 million in general funds, general fund revenue into roads and bridges. And that would come from sales tax on auto parts, on motor vehicle lease tax, and on rental tax. The additional dollars that we have talked about from a road and bridge side is the additional the slowing down of the depreciation schedule of the registration fees, which would have raised approximately $100 million on average. And then we also talked about our trunk highway funding at approximately $200 million. So on the roads and bridge side, we feel that was a very significant move. We feel that $600 million per year would generate the dollars to complete that $6 billion 10-year plan. So then the point where we needed to get to and we needed to talk about today is the transit piece. And what we've talked about is how do we do a number of things there. We've struggled with part of how the dollars are collected, where they go to, some of the representation of that, the governance of that. So we really talked about some reform on the Met Council side that I guess the process side, not necessarily the Met Council, but how do we make sure that if we are looking at anything in fees that it's done appropriately and responsibly. Secondly, what we would like to do is we would like to get the state of Minnesota out of the business of building and operating rail. That would be the intent. So with that, what we are proposing or what we've talked about, I guess, is a quarter cent local option sales tax for the 5-county area that does not have that currently. There are 87 counties in this state. 82 of them have the ability to raise a local option sales tax. The 5 counties that are in the County Transit Improvement Board, the CTIB area, do not. So we would look at the availability of them to raise that quarter cent option. In addition, we would also look at the possibility of the Met Council being able to do the same. And with that would come the ability for that revenue generation to take over the current operating costs of rail, which is approximately $32 million right now. So the state's obligation right now is $32 million a year, along with the 10% capital infusion that we are responsible for as well, which over a time period, if we are able to remove the state from that equation, we would be saving approximately $750 million over a 10-year plan. So we feel that that trade-off of allowing the local counties to decide whether or not that they would like that option, what that would allow them to do is if they wanted to continue on their same path, they certainly could. If they wanted to now have the option to, for example, get out of the CTIB group and go on their own, then they would reduce themselves by a quarter by getting out of the CTIB. They could, if they turned around and increase the sales tax by a quarter, that would be a net zero result, and they would have control over their budget. They would have control to use those taxes for roads, bridges, transit, whatever they decide. So we are really pushing the idea of a local local control and local option to do so. A couple of things that go along with that. This would also prohibit the use of the new sales tax dollars to anything but buses, for bus transit, rapid bus transit, bus travel. So, again, just trying to reiterate that we believe that if transit areas themselves would like to focus on light rail or other modes of transportation, that they would control their own dollars to do so. Some of the reform that we are looking for from the Met Council side would be the adding of staggered terms for representatives on the Met Council. We would also be asking for a new nominating committee that elected officials would be a part of. Let's see here. Okay, I guess at this point in time, Mr. Chair, I would open up for maybe some clarifying questions or comments by yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the package of ideas. Certainly represents a significant movement on your part and on the part of your committee. Appreciate the recognition of the vitality of transit and the need to do a statewide bill that also includes a measure of sustainability and multimodalism and recognizes that Minnesotans in all walks of life need access to mobility and what mobility provides in their lives. I appreciate the creativity around the political issues that there are, the sensitivities there are along certain modes. So it's creative, and that I appreciate very, very much. And so it's definitely a proposal that's worth looking over and worth considering. You and I have had, of course, a number of conversations in the last few weeks, and so if you don't mind, we'd like to present some of our ideas, which would be similar to what you've just presented, some of which are the synthesis of conversations with yourself and other folks and our leadership as well. But we should probably see if anyone else has questions or comments at this point on your proposal.
I should add one of the items that are in, we did put this in bill format as well, but just kind of getting this together. One of the items that we do have some limitations on are specifically the Southwest light rail project that would have to meet very specific criteria for that to receive any additional state funding. So we can walk through that as well.
Very good. So I don't have any specific questions or need any clarification at this point myself. I'm wondering if any of my conferees do. Okay, what's your pleasure? Do you want to do a more specific walk through the bill, or would you like us to present our ideas and concept.
I think you should go ahead with the conceptual things, and then from a process standpoint, what I would suggest is that we give you the opportunity to take the bill and bill format back with you as a conference committee.
All right.
To walk through, so then we could get detailed questions and make it more productive as opposed to just trying to walk through it all at once.
All right. Very good.
Mr. Chairman, I've read this quickly through, and I think that we should pass this today and get it on the governor's desk tomorrow if we can. I mean, I think we should whiz-bang it through and see what happens.
Thank you, Representative Earhart.
All right.
Chair Dibble.
The whiz-bang approach. All right. I don't completely disagree, although we have some ideas, too, that we'd like to put out on the table, so maybe we can synthesize and then whiz bang. I don't know if there's an expression for that. So I'm just going to go through. I have some notes. I just realized they're not complete and there's some typos, but I'll use them as a rough reference. I'll describe our proposal and then we also have it written in bill form, and I'll also extemporate a little bit because there's a couple of ideas that we could insert that we didn't necessarily pick up in this particular draft. But very, very quickly, what the Senate would propose at this point would be to dedicate the sales tax on auto parts, as you have proposed, that would eventually, over a course of a few years, get up to about $300 million per year. That would be constitutionally dedicated. We would propose to phase that in over 5 years' time. We put that on that constitutional question on the ballot this November. Kind of adding to that idea would be to constitutionally dedicate that little sliver of the gas tax that's presently devoted statutorily, is kind of scooped out off the top of the sales tax, gas tax collections that are paid by motorboat users, snowmobiles, ATVs, off-highway motorcycles, and off-road vehicles. So that would just be kind of locked down in the Constitution. We would also then do a license tab fee increase, similar to the proposal that we've made in the past, which is which has the moving from 1.25 to 1.5% on the value of the vehicle, leaving the depreciation schedule pretty much the same, but also raising the base tax as well as the minimum tax. That raises about $180 million a year. We have the late fees proposal. If you pay your tabs late, you'd have to pay a little bit of a penalty. We have collectors, those with collectors plates, rather than paying a one-time $25 fee, they would pay the minimum tax annually. And then for the metropolitan area, did I forget anything? That goes into the highway user fund, right? And then in the metropolitan area, we picked up a concept that is similar to what you just described, Mr. Chair. We would allow for a quarter cent to be imposed by the Met Council or to the Met Council, and that would pay only for buses, and that would be within the transit taxing district. Buses would include, of course, bus rapid transit. Then we would allow counties to impose a quarter cent sales tax. The kind of the innovation here is, and this would be for whatever they would, any transportation they would deem is appropriate for that purpose, roads, buses, rail, bus rapid transit, bike ped, et cetera. They could bring those dollars to CTIB if they so chose. The other innovation there is that they would need to seek the ratification of the majority of the cities as represented by the population, 50% plus one of the population within that county before that tax would be imposed in that county. In Hennepin County, they would have to be sure that Minneapolis also ratifies taking that action. And then we also have the similar metro governance reforms that you just described, which are mostly the product of the Citizens League recommendations. Rural transits, we would assume that the $32 million that presently gets taken from the motor vehicle lease tax and goes into the general fund that would come in would not go to the transportation or to the general fund, but would come in for transportation purposes, and then that we would split those dollars 50% for rural transit, 50% for metropolitan area county roads, the five collar counties, not including Hennepin and Ramsey, proportionally split according to population as it is now. We would also give rural transit a little bit more general fund, about $15 million per year. We would also retain the local road proposal that we had presented, which was the $10 surcharge on tabs as well as on title transfers, which raises approximately $57 million per year for cities below 5,000 and $57 million for cities above 5,000. We would get some general fund dollars, about $10 million, to what we're calling safe routes. Like, that seems to be a dirty word, so we're trying to call it something that's a little more palatable, under which safe routes to school would be a kind of a subset and an eligible use of those dollars, and making sure that we also dedicate the federal dollars that flow in to the state for those purposes are permanently devoted for that purpose. On freight rail, we would just retain the proposal to increase from $1 million to $2.5 million, the holdback from the Trunk Highway Fund from the traffic penalties to improve grade crossings that would be an annual. We take in some of the freight safety language. I know that there's a compromise proposal that Senator Jensen has worked out with the railroads, so we would take that language, and I think part of that is an agreement for two additional rail inspectors. The public-private partnership proposal, there's some other small notes here. We'd allow for some eligible uses of the Metro sales tax to support transit management organizations, some dollars for Centers for Transportation Studies research. We'd make sure that the opt-outs got some of those dollars that go to Met Council from the additional Metro sales tax. We develop a bonding proposal within the Trunk Highway Fund for corridors of commerce, transportation economic development, the state road construction. We'd make sure that we also have increased appropriations as appropriate for the state road construction program, operations and maintenance, planning and development, some other miscellaneous things that we need to appropriate out of the Trunk Highway Fund for those purposes, including county turnbacks, and then a list of some of the policy provisions that are kind of floating around that either died on the vine last year or in House File 4 or we're in the supplemental budget from this year that is now without a home. Ms. Berzovsky, any major omissions or errors?
You mean there could be more?
Yeah. We do have placed some conditions as well on Southwest Light Rail. As you know, the final environmental impact statement was just released, and we would ask the Environmental Quality Board to take a look at that and make a determination of adequacy on that FEIS.
Okay. Just a couple notes. I'm glad you mentioned a couple of things that I failed to mention. We too have the rail safety language in the commitment by the railroads on some of our projects for rail grade crossing. We're also there. And then additional funding to safe routes to school as well through some of the dollars that are being taken from the Trunk Highway Fund right now. Then also we, consistent with our other plan, we do still fund our small cities plan that we initiated last year, but we are back up to the $25 million that we allotted for last year. And not only that, we created the same type of fund for townships. Because that's where we feel that they have really been struggling as of late. So those are two of the things I think I failed to mention there. But I certainly appreciate the opportunity to to get together and to at least walk through and to give the public an opportunity to see that there has been a lot of work done over the last couple of years. We feel that we have made significant progress, and we're hoping that this conversation will end up in a long-term plan that we can all accept. For now, what we will do is we do have, Rashawn, do you have copies of that? Bill, we'll make sure that you get those and your conferees get those, and I will adjourn this meeting and hand the gavel over to you. And first, right. If you have any questions right now or any comments.
No, I appreciate that. I'm actually available to respond to any questions that any of your members might have.
Mr. Chair, just a quick question. I'm trying to remember, what did you have in for quotas of commerce in the dollar amounts? Do you have that briefly available?
We have blanks right now. So,
okay.
So we're looking for your advice, Representative Petersburg. You tell
lots.
Us. All right, lots. All right, gotcha. Whatever it takes to get your vote, you tell us.
Thank
you. Thank you. All right.
Well, our intention
is to pass out our bills.
What is this?
Yeah, I think we just did.
Or did we not?
But we'll have copies of ours for you. We'll have those for you.
All right.
How many? Do we have more copies of ours? There. The A97. Okay, we will make sure, Mr. Chair, that we have copies of that. Well, there's one.
All right.
And that. All right, with that, we will stand adjourned.